Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, we will be able to think more, to understand more, to know more about you. Amen. Well, as William reminded us last week, the new covenant is made possible by Jesus, who is both King and High Priest. And this evening, I hope that we can explore chapter 8 together and we can understand some of the implications of this new covenant. And perhaps look at four reasons why we can use a word that's not really liked in schools anymore, better. The new covenant is better than the old covenant. I was thinking about the old covenant, and the word that you often associate that with is law. And those of you who are getting to know me, I know that I quite like to do a game as part of my talks. Now, last time it was involved throwing and catching nappies. Not going to do that, you'll be pleased to know. But I wanted to test your legal knowledge this evening. So I've got some laws. Now, these are still, or some of them are still on our statute books, and some are just made up. So your challenge is to identify which of these are real laws. So the first one, all English males over the age of 14 should carry out 2 hours of longbow practice a week, supervised by the local clergy. So, could you put your hand up if you think that's true? And hands up if you think I made that one up. Right, that is a true law. Apparently that's still a true law. What about this one? Anyone breaking a boiled egg by the sharp end will be sentenced to 24 hours in the village stocks. Who thinks that's true? Who thinks I made that one up? That's true as well. So careful how you break your egg if you have one for breakfast. What about this one? It's illegal to stand within 100 yards of the reigning monarch if you're not wearing socks. Who thinks that's true? Got a true at the back there. Who thinks that's false? Well, that one's true as well. What about this one? It's illegal to wear red socks on a Sunday. Any votes for true? Who thinks that's made up? That one is made up. How about this one? Mince pies cannot be eaten on Christmas Day. Who thinks that's a true law? Who thinks I made that one up? That's actually still a true law. So yeah, I don't know if we're going to get into trouble for that, but no mince pies on Christmas Day. And finally, my favourite, excluding Sundays, so you can't do it today, it's perfectly legal to shoot a Scotsman with a bow and arrow. Who thinks that's true? Who thinks I made that one up? That one is true. So, any Scotsman use your bow and arrow, but not on a Sunday. All right. So, law, though, often does go hand in hand with contract. And in our modern age, we define a host of relations by contract. These contracts, whether informal or formal, well, they help us to specify whether the terms have been fulfilled. The law did not establish a contract with Israel or with the church. He created a covenant. And there's a big difference. Contracts are broken when one of the parties fails to keep a promise. If a patient failed to keep an appointment with a doctor, the doctor is not obligated to go to the house and inquire where the patient was. She might just get her secretary to ring up and maybe even charge you for missing that appointment. That's an informal contract that was broken there. But according to the Bible, as this slide says, the Lord asks, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. The Bible indicates that a covenant is more like the ties of a parent to a child. If a child fails to show up for dinner, the parent's obligation, unlike with the doctor, isn't just cancelled. Parent, hopefully, will find out where the child is and make sure that she or he is cared for. They might wish they hadn't done that. I don't know if you can read the cartoon all the way from the back there by the time our dinner's gone so badly. But one member's failure does not destroy the relationship. The secret to understanding chapter 8 is to understand the meaning of covenant. And the key to understanding a biblical covenant is to understand the difference between an unconditional covenant, the one with the doctor, and a conditional covenant. Our Bible is divided between Old Covenant and New Covenant. The Old Covenant, or the Old Testament, is the record of the conditional covenant given to the nation of Israel. The blessings of the Old Covenant were conditioned on Israel's obedience to the law that God gave with the covenant, the Ten Commandments and the other Deuteronomical laws. Whereas the New Testament is an unconditional covenant with all who believe in the Son of God. The second intentionally replaces the first, the former even predicting and foreshadowing the new. It says in verse 7, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second." It's not suggesting that the law itself had flaws, but the experience of human beings under the law was faulty. The law could reveal sin, but not remove it. Sacrifice could cover sin, but it couldn't forgive it. In fact, verse 8 reveals the problem as God finding fault with people. Moses announces this old covenant in Exodus 19. "Now if you obey me and fully keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possessions," he says. "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak with the Israelites." And the people, they went along with it. They responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." But in fact, they did everything that the Lord had told them not to do. And they didn't do what he had told them to do. So the writer of Hebrews explains the problem was not with the covenant, but it was with the people. The problem was never with God's covenant. And despite Israel's failure, verse 8, God promises that the day will come when he will make a new covenant. And that fact, that new covenant, is established on what verse 6 calls better or superior promises, making this new covenant better than the old one. So let's think about some reasons why this is the case. First, the new covenant is better than the old because it replaces shadow with reality. In verse 5 we read, "They served at the sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven." That's why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain." Now my children have downloaded an app which tells them how many days until Christmas. And if you're interested, it's our 55, by the way. This app even tells them number of hours, minutes and seconds as well. So it's a highlight of their morning to put the app on and see how many days left. But on a serious point, Christmas is a really good example of the replacement of shadows with the real thing. The coming of Christ into the world is the fulfillment of everything promised and foreshadowed by the Old Testament, the Old Covenants, and its sacrifice for sin. When God gave the law to Moses and established the priesthood and sacrificial worship, these things were never intended to be permanent. Verse 5 says that the tabernacle was a copy of heavenly things. When Moses was given the instructions for building the tabernacle, we're not going to try and read this. This is just an example of some of the instructions. There's many, many more because they were extremely precise. They gave dimensions. They told what building materials had to be used. He was warned about not deviating from the pattern. Why were they so important? It was because it was a shadow of a spiritual reality. William Barclay states, "The earthly tabernacle is a pale copy of the real temple of God. Earthly worship is a remote reflection of real worship. The earthly priesthood is an inadequate shadow of the real priesthood. These things point beyond themselves to the reality of which they are the shadows." If the glory of the tabernacle was only a shadow and copy of the reality in heaven, just imagine what the reality in heaven must be like. But then realize that whatever you can imagine, no matter how wondrous, reality will far exceed it. The Apostle Paul says of reality that it awakes, that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The Apostle John writes in Revelation 5 of the wonders he saw in his vision of heaven. I looked and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, the living creatures and the elders, the numbered myriads and myriads of thousands singing with full voice, Worthy is the Lamb. The new covenant is better than the old one because it replaces shadow with reality. The new covenant is also better than the old one because it replaces externalism with intimacy. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. This new covenant has a different set of laws, an internal, not external ones. The Spirit of God writes God's laws on the hearts and minds of his children. True worship of the new covenant is internal, not external. It's real, not ritual. Kent Hughes states, the writer is saying, God will be our God. I will be their God because God gives himself to us. And they will be my people means God takes us to himself. In 1 John 3, we read the Apostle John saying, See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. This is a new degree of intimacy with God, previously unknown and previously unimaginable. This means family in the deepest sense of the word. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Abba, Father, the idea of having this intimate relationship with God the Father was something entirely new. That term Abba means daddy, but actually it could be better translated as daddy, my beloved daddy. The new covenant gives us a new level of intimacy with God the Father. The new covenant is also better than the old one because it replaces insecurity with knowledge. Verse 11 tells us, No longer will they teach their neighbour or say to one another, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. Under the old covenant, the Jewish people constantly looked to the rabbi to understand God's word. The rabbi was the expert, the person who knew everything, and the people were the ignorant followers who needed to be told what to do. Some Christians perhaps still act as if they're under the old covenant, that they cannot read the word of God for themselves. They cannot understand what it says. They look to the experts, whether priests or pastors. But under the new covenant, there's really no such division as clergy and laity, because the Apostle Peter says, You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Under this new covenant, we can all come to God as his own children with his laws on our heart. So the new covenant is better than the old because it replaces insecurity with knowledge. And the new covenant is better because it replaces covering with forgiveness. Verse 12, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. This phrase, remember no more, means hold against us no more. Sins are forgiven, not just covered. Here is what we need more than anything else, and what the old covenant pictured but could not provide. The sacrifices in the Old Testament could cover sin, but they look forward to a future fulfillment. Hebrews 10:4 says, For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. For the sins need to be forgiven, there needed to be a new covenant relationship. So the old covenant is finally fulfilled. And the conclusion to this subject is given in verse 13. By calling this covenant new, he's made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. The old covenant wasn't bad. It had simply served its purpose. It pointed to the Saviour and foreshadowed the Saviour. But now the Saviour has come, and there's no more need for shadow. When the temple was destroyed, there couldn't be any more sacrifice. When verse 13 was written, the old covenant was ready to vanish away. In less than 5 years, it had disappeared. But in reality, this old system ended once and for all when the sacrifice of Christ on the cross was complete. The veil in the temple was split in two. The destruction of the temple only completed the closing of the old covenant by removing the place of sacrifice that no longer served the purpose. Now we know, as verse 6 tells us, that Jesus is the bringer of this superior covenant established on better promises. Under the old covenant, God presented with the Israelites two options, and he told them to choose life. God offers us the same choice today. This is the crucial implication. Through God's grace, we can today, without following those Levitical-style rules, choose life. And not only that, we can choose eternal life. Amen. Now, this is a student service, so I thought we needed an exam to finish off. So here we go. First question. First, the new covenant is different to the old because it replaces shadow with... We're going to do a multiple choice. Shadow with reality. Shadow with the Beatles. Anyone get that? No? Okay. Shadow with mystery. So, hands up for shadow with reality. Hands up for replaces the shadows with the Beatles. Hopefully no one there. Hands up with mystery. Of course, it replaces shadow with reality. Next one. It replaces externalism with intimacy, internalism, or idiocy. What do we think? Hands up with for intimacy. Internalism? Idiocy? No? Good. It replaces externalism with intimacy. Third, it replaces insecurity with stupidity, knowledge, or safety. Anyone for stupidity? What about knowledge? Yeah, go on. You were going to put your hand up there. Well done. Safety? It replaces insecurity with knowledge. And finally, it replaces covering with security, safety, and forgiveness. So shall we go for votes for security, safety, forgiveness? Brilliant, 100%, fantastic. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that through Jesus our shepherd, we can have a relationship with you that is both now and everlasting. Amen.